What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, we got a lot to do on a summer Friday. We'll get you set for Jets, Giants, Yankees, Cardinals coming up tonight and over the weekend. And we'll give you a chance to see Steph Curry live and in person later on in the program. But yesterday at around 5 o'clock, Sean Morash did a Cinco de Five-O. It was a good one, maybe one of the best ones he ever did. He did a list counting down the worst losses of this Mets season. And little did I know that a few hours later, I would actually witness the worst loss of the Mets season. Because in so many ways, the way they lost Thursday was worse than any other loss for this reason, Teak. They got good starting pitching out of Kodai Senga.
5 2/3.
I actually agreed with Carlos Mendoza taking him out. Some disagree. More on that later. They got clutch hitting, even though they didn't score a lot of runs. They responded to the Braves taking the lead in the sixth inning by Lindor getting a clutch hit, stealing second, by Alonso coming through with the leading hit, Nimmo getting a sack fly, and it was all set up for the one part of this team that you would think you have confidence in, which is the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Helsley comes out with his theme song and the lights and the Hell's Bells, and he choked. And for the Mets to lose a game in which all of those little things were going right, the clutch hitting, the quality starting pitching, to lose that game, to me, in a lot of ways, was worse than anything they've done because it felt like all was right with the world. Like, I'm sitting there in the ballpark in the eighth inning saying, all right, can't write this any better.
Right.
Well, clutch hitting, good starting pitching. Now they're going to go win a game and they're going to win a series.
The problem is it was the Braves. That was the biggest problem because for whatever reason, you can't beat the damn Braves.
They can't beat anybody, T.
But forget it. Forget anybody. I know they've lost 13 of 15, and that's not all the Braves, obviously. But it feels like no matter what, Braves are dead. They're sinking, they are falling, yeah. Their pitching is all of them are floating over four, some of them are going towards seven, except for when they play the Mets. It's almost like it's a curse. It's almost like no matter how good, and you laid it all out, I mean, they manufactured a run. It was pretty amazing. Lindor gets on, he steals, Soto gets on, he steals 36 straight without being caught. And they get RBIs. I mean, it was kind of perfect.
Yes.
It was lined up to be perfect. And then all of a sudden, it just sinks away like that. And it's not even a six-run blown lead.
No.
It's just kind of like dink and dunk and RBI, double, here we go, we beat you.
Yeah.
No matter how good you think you are, we are your daddy. That's what it feels like for the Braves with the Mets. It's almost like the Astros. Remember 2 years ago when the Yankees, this is before the Soto year, so the year before, it was like the Astros have zero fear, no matter how good or bad they are,
right,
of the New York Yankees.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like with the Atlanta Braves.
Well,
and it's going to be, it's your nemesis. And it just, this feel-good moment that happened a couple of days ago when Pete Alonso gets 253 and 254, and all right, we're turning the corner now, but we're still the Braves.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway.
They've won 7 of 10 against them this year, in a year in which the Braves are well under 500.
Right.
It's a part of it that they can't beat the Braves. To me, it's bigger than that. It's they can't beat anybody.
True.
I mean, they've been a bad team for a long time, and even when the things that have been the most inconsistent actually show up, like the starting pitching and the clutch hitting, the other aspect of your team, which is supposed to be a strength, craps the bed.
Right.
And, you know, Francisco Lindor said something after the game. He is a great leader, and he is starting to wake up, which is a positive sign. But Lindor said, we win as a team, and we lose as a team. And he's so right. Every aspect of this team will contribute to a loss. whether it's the starting pitching mostly, whether it's the clutch hitting, whether it's the defense last week with Brett Baty, or in the case of last night with Ryan Helsley, it's the bullpen. And that's why as we sit here in the middle of August through this horrendous stretch, and yes, there's time. They're still in a playoff spot, though that'll go away by the end of the weekend. It's tough to believe things are going to turn when they always find ways to lose. They're the opposite of last year.
Yeah.
Instead of always finding ways to win, which is what good teams do, which is what they did in the first month of the season, it's the complete opposite. And last night was a great example of it, where things are going well. It's all set up to win a game and win a series and at least feel better about this team going into the weekend. And instead, one of the acquisitions, which I loved, we all love the acquisition of Ryan Helsley, but then we got to call it out. He has stunk as a Met.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the risk you have when you bring in relievers, especially guys who are closers, who are now asked to pitch the eighth inning. You never know what the results are going to be. And so far, the results have been awful. He needs to retire his intro. That's got to go away. I'm sorry. And you know, it's so funny.
They didn't pump you up in real time.
So when the lights went out and the Hells Bells started, and I'll show this to you if you don't believe me. I recorded it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it set up to tweet out something, and I decided not to. I deleted it. I was going to tweet the video and say, you better not blow this game with an intro like that. And I said, you know what, Ev? Why be negative?
You know what? You should have sent it.
I should have?
Yeah. Because no matter what happens, if he doesn't, it's like, look, Evan was on it.
I know.
Evan got, he saw that tweet, even though he doesn't have his phone in the dugout, but whatever. He felt that tweet.
Right.
And so I had to be dialed in because Evan Roberts. And then if he does blow it like he did, it's like Evan was prophetic.
Yeah.
You may be. Get rid of the Hell's Bells.
I didn't want to say it because, like, Tommy even warned me yesterday. Yeah. Like,
then you become the mush. Right. Then you become the mush.
Why put the negativity in the air? But I thought it, especially because you get in this big closer's intro like you're a superstar. What have you done for us? I mean, you were a fine pitcher for the Cardinals, and I love that Stearns traded for you, but what have you done for us other than blow games? What have you done?
SNY has also tweeted that video and is getting dragged in the mentions, and we love it.
Well, because...
Really?
Yeah. Well, they tweeted it the moment he came out.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't cool, or it isn't cool, unless you're good. That's the thing about intros. Yohan Duran's got a great intro. He's good. Edwin Diaz has an awesome intro. He's good. We didn't love the Edwin Diaz intro in 2019 or 2021. We loved it in 2022.
Was it the same in 19?
I think he changed it and then changed it back to the trumpets at some point in the middle of the 19 season.
I actually do remember that. So I remember people talking about how it was aired and it was gone and then it came back.
But the point is, you got to get the job done. And overall, as we sit here today and the Mets get set to play Seattle and we'll get to the Yankees who get set to play St. Louis, I don't know how anyone believes in this team. I don't know where you're coming from to believe. They've been garbage for 2 months, and last night, in a lot of ways, even if it's not the headline of blowing a 5-run lead or a 6-run lead, the fact that in your own building against a bad Brave team, with everything set up, it was all set up, they find a way to blow it, and then the offense, who has a chance to respond in the eighth and ninth inning, do nothing, led by Captain Solo Juan Soto, who comes up in a big spot and strikes out on three pitches like he had no chance. They felt dead.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
In the last two innings last night. And as we sit here today, you could tell me all day what their record is and how much time they have. And I am not one who usually screams the house is on fire, but I'm telling you right now, the house is on fire. I have very little reason to believe this is going to turn.
Yeah, well, it's hard to when the Cincinnati Reds are right up your rear, half a game back in the wild card. But the good thing is, and I'm not positive Tommy's out today, but the good thing is that you still have a chance to even catch the Phillies. You have games in front of you that you can win and should win. But the counter to that is that your schedule is rough. It's all playoff teams, save the Braves, who you can't beat, and the Nationals, who interestingly beat the Phillies last night anyway. So it feels like there's an opportunity, but there's also the real likelihood that the Mets just keep sliding. And what happens if they do? If the Mets completely fall off the table and don't make the playoffs, what's the repercussion? Wait, what's David Stearns do? What's the fan is screaming and yelling, obviously.
Yeah.
But what happens if this happens? Nothing. You're just going to be young again next year with young pitchers, young position players. Got to make a decision on Pete. But what's going to change?
I have not.
You're not firing your manager.
No, I wouldn't fire the manager. And I hate to say this to you, Tiki. I don't have an answer for you yet. And maybe I don't have an answer because it's August 15th and I'm not giving up on the season.
Right.
I'm just telling you I don't have confidence it's going to turn.
I wouldn't either. I'm just telling you the reality of the season. You have a tough schedule.
Well, it's not even the schedule that scares me, Teak, though you're right about some of the... Like, Seattle's tough. I mean, the Mariners are one of the hottest teams in baseball this side of Milwaukee. Like, that's not going to be easy. So it's not even the schedule more than it is, are they good? Like, it's a simple question. Are the New York Mets any good? Okay, and have they given you any evidence that they're going to turn this around, considering they've been bad for 2 months now? And there really hasn't been any evidence.
Well, if you look at it from an individual player standpoint, is Kodai Senga good? Yes. Is Sean Manaea good? Yes. Is Clay Holmes? Well, I won't go Clay Holmes, but he's slotted in to be your third guy. Has he been good this year as a starting pitcher? Yes. And it'll be miraculous if he gets through this entire season as a starter, which I don't know. Maybe he goes to the bullpen, but has the experiment worked in a big picture standpoint? Yes, he's been good. Do you still have the best closer in baseball or one of them? Yes. Is Pete Alonso a good player? Yes. Is Juan Soto a good player? Yes. Is Lindor? Yes. Nimmo? Yes. Right, all these answers are yes. On paper, they are a good team. For whatever reason, they suck as a team, though. And that's why it's, like, if you could scream and yell and say, you got to get rid of this guy, DFA this guy, he stinks, you kind of have a solution in your mind.
Right.
There's no solution.
Yeah, the only, and it's not the solution, because I don't want to frame it this way, the thing that I've been passionate about, and we're going to get it on Saturday, is calling up some of the young, highly touted starting pitching.
Yes.
And it's going to happen with Nolan McLean.
Right.
Now,
but not Sproat.
Well, not yet with Brandon Sproat, right. But we'll see him. I can promise you this. By the time Labor Day hits, Brandon Sproat's going to make his major league debut.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? It may mean the answer. I mean, those guys could come up and dominate.
Right.
They could come up and be great. Or they can come up and struggle. You never know with young pitching. That's been one thing I've screamed about passionately. But you're right. There's no magic elixir other than guys need to be better. Like, I had this debate on the Rico last night. I heard Brandon give a great other side opinion to this earlier today on the Midday Show. I disagree with him, but I understood the Met fan who said, hey, Mendy should have kept Kodai Senga in. Now, I disagree with them. I thought that Senga was done. His command in the sixth inning started to become an issue when he walked Matt Olson and even fell behind Michael Harris before he gave up the base hit. And I trust the Met bullpen. Like, the Met bullpen is their strength. And I got 5 2/3 out of Kodai Senga. I'm happy. I say, you know what? I got the best out of him. Let me go to my bullpen.
Right.
This, to me, isn't about Mendoza. It's about the players. It's about performance. It's about the fact that even after Rodgers gave up the soft contact hit and the Mets were down by a run, so you could say Mendy screwed up, the Met offense responded. And then he goes to Ryan Helsley. And even though I would have done Diaz in the eighth inning instead of Helsley, that's a story for another day. You add your best players on the field.
Mm-hmm.
They need to perform.
Right.
Like when I sit here to try diagnose why the Mets have collapsed, yeah, there's plenty of moves I didn't like that Mendy did, but it's not Carlos Mendoza. And Mendy's falling to the same problem Aaron Boone falls to. We start to get angry about what he's saying after games.
Yes.
I don't care what he says after games.
Right.
They got to win.
Well, he's going to tell you the truth after games, and I think that's what pisses people off sometimes because they'd rather be lied to and then be mad at him because he lied at you.
I don't think they want him to lie. I think they want him to scream, Teak.
Well, yeah, probably. But you can't. It's still, 40 games ago. He's still got a lot of baseball left to play. Screaming's not going to do anything. It'll make you feel good in the moment, but it's not going to change anything. And look, the debate you were talking about that you had and BT had as well about Senga, the one thing that you noticed watching this game on television, and I don't know if you noticed it while you were actually at the ballpark, mm-hmm. Evan, but and they mentioned it. Keith mentioned it.
Yeah.
How when Kodai's throwing this forkball, and it's like his facial, you can tell he's putting every ounce of energy
right
to make the pitch, whatever one it is, whether he's trying to throw a fastball or he's throwing his fork, whatever it is, there's like so much energy. He was just spent. And if you're Carlos Mendoza, you can see it. Like, I could see it watching it on television.
I felt it just watching from way upstairs. Yes. I felt like his command in the sixth inning was a little off.
I'm talking about his effort. Like, right. Like what his body was like.
But
like,
sometimes
it's like, okay, next one.
That was some imitation.
But that's what it looked like on television. Okay. So Mindy was right. He didn't have like the power anymore. He didn't have the energy anymore
I think,
to keep doing it.
I think this is one of those managerial moves that's a 50-50. Yeah. Like, I see the other side. Sometimes I get pissed off and I don't see the other side. Right. I see the other side. I was more on his side of pulling him because I look at this bullpen, and maybe I shouldn't with the way Ryan Helsley's pitched, and I say, boy, if I can get to the middle part of the sixth inning and I've got Raley, who he didn't use or warm up, which was odd. I got Rogers. I got Helsley. I got Diaz. I even have Soto. I feel good about getting those last 10 or 11 outs. The bullpen is their strength. Now, it didn't work, but I think that's a 50-50 managerial move. It comes down to performance and guys getting the job done. And guys aren't doing that. And I'd love to say it's all going to be okay, but when you get 2 months of data where even when the starting pitching is good, like last night, or the clutch hitting comes through, like last night, or they score a lot of runs early, two nights earlier, you still find a way to lose, that's just a sign of a losing team. That's a sign of a team that's not going to turn it around. Now, you said something earlier, and I'm not ready to answer it, nor do I want to answer it, which is, hey, if they miss the playoffs, what do you do? I got to think long and hard about that, because I don't think there's an easy answer.
No, there really
isn't. Now, I will eventually have an answer. You can trust me on that. I'll probably do a 5-hour Rico on it. But as we sit here today in the middle of August, I don't have an answer for the offseason, nor do I want to think about it. I want this team, this high-priced team, to turn it around. I need Juan Soto, and I don't care about his emotions or his smiling or his lack of smiling. I care about one very simple thing, and I have been damn consistent about this whenever we talk about sports. It's about performance, dummy.
Right.
Juan Soto came up in the eighth inning with a runner on first and one out right after Helsley gave up the lead. He struck out on three pitches. That's the kind of season Juan Soto's had. Mm-hmm. He'll get hits. He had a good series, right? He was 3-for-11. He was on base a bunch of times, hit a home run. Just like his stats are good. I'm not arguing his stats, but if you watch every day, you know the impact hasn't been there. And I thought this series against the Braves was a great example of it. His stats were there. Where was the impact? Where was the impact when he came up in the eighth inning with the tying run on first base and he struck out on three pitches against Dylan Lee, who struck him out a few months earlier in a big spot? Where was he in the fifth inning after the Mets gave up the big lead two nights earlier and he comes up as the tying run and he strikes out? Where's the impact?
Juan Solo.
That needs to change. Now, is it going to change? I hope so. But I need Juan Solo to, you know, be the guy we've seen.
Right. Go back to being Soto.
Yes.
Right. It's just, and it's not, it's easier said than done, it seems like, for anybody on this Mets team. And that's the issue. This feels like a mental issue. It feels like a, because it's not physical. I don't think anybody's hurt, even though I am starting to question why Brooks Raley hasn't pitched in 5 days. But it feels mental. This feels emotional.
Well, and you know what else it feels like, Teak? And I hate to say what I'm going to say, but I got to be real with you. This team, not everybody, because obviously Juan Soto was new, I understand that, but Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, here's the truth about these guys. I love these guys. Last year was amazing, OMG, blah, blah, blah. They have let us down a hell of a lot more than they've succeeded. In 2021, they all choked, every single one of them. They were in first place for a majority of the season. They finished the season under 500. They choked. 2022, they were having a great year. What happened when the chips were down?
Right.
They choked. In 2023, don't worry. We got the talent. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. What happened? They choked so badly, they had to sell guys off before July 31st. Last year, as great as it was, until proven otherwise, kind of feels like the outlier. Because what's happening this year? They got the talent. They got the talent. They'll be fine. Well, I heard that in 2023. I heard that in 2021. I heard that at the end of 2022.
You heard it at the beginning of this year.
Heard it this year. So I know there's a lot of guys who, you know, weren't a part of all that. So I can't put that on Cedric Mullins or obviously Juan Solo. But that's the other thing I'm kind of scared about. This unit has failed more than it succeeded. So again, on August 15th, why do you believe? Because I'm having a tough time believing. That's the reality. We'll get to your calls coming up. 888-808-1019. And again, Tiki offers a perspective none of us have. I'm very curious, and you will answer this. I want you to think about it when we come back. And that is, we want Mendy to yell and scream and call his players out. Would that work on a professional athlete? Would that have worked on you? Would that have worked on some of your teammates? We'll get to Tiki's answer on your calls next. That was Tiki's Kodai Senga imitation, ladies and gentlemen.
It looked just like Kodai Senga, too.
It did. We'll get to your calls. We'll get the Jets-Giants. We'll get you set for Yankees-Cardinals as well.
I love it. Met fans and Yankee fans, we're basically the same because Met fans are like Yankee fans now. We are complaining about a high-priced, underachieving team, and we don't like what the manager says after games.
I mean, am I wrong about that, Sean?
No. But it shouldn't shock us. As much as we love Mendy, he does come from the Boone tree.
He does. And look, what I like about Carlos is that he's very direct in answering questions. So if you listen to his post-game press conference, he will give you boring baseball reasons for why a starting pitcher failed or why Ryan Helsley struggled last night or the approach of hitters. So he'll answer questions, which I appreciate. And I've also learned that there's nothing a manager or a coach can say after a team loses that's going to make us feel better. We're right. All pissed off. But what I've heard from Met fans constantly during this myriad of losing is that they want Carlos Mendoza to call his team out. They want him to rip his players. They want him to show emotion, which he has not done a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make a difference
it
in your mind?
It very rarely works. It just makes you mad that he embarrassed you. Mm. Which is why Aaron Boone doesn't call his guys out. It's why very rarely do you see any professional coach do it publicly. Now, you might catch him. Remember in 2022 when Dave's was screaming at Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
Like, you might catch
them. And people love that.
Oh, of course they did.
Yeah.
Because fixed is the wrong word, but it fixed him.
Right.
He didn't have any turnovers that year, basically.
For that season, it worked.
It was amazing. He led the league in lowest turnover. So, like, you might catch them doing it, but they're never going to do it intentionally publicly. So, but I almost feel like sometimes when they do get caught screaming, yelling, calling out the guy, it's kind of intentional.
Mm. Yeah, they know the cameras are there.
100%. Like, they know that they are making a point, and so it kind of, in some ways, like we did with Dave's in 2022, gets the fan off the coach's back.
Well, that's what it can do. And what I've heard a lot of is, well, Terry Collins had those fiery rants.
Yeah.
And we played one of those a couple weeks ago when Terry was like, hey, if you're not performing, you'll end up in the minors. Like, it was a great rant.
But it wasn't directed at anyone specifically.
It wasn't. It was carefully done. But I looked back at that rant, which was awesome. Like, we all love it. Like, it's great. Fires me up.
Right.
The Mets didn't get hot the next day. Now, the Mets got hot basically a week later.
Right.
So it's not necessarily fair to say, well, that got the team going. And I don't think if Carlos Mendoza or Aaron Boone gave us the blood after a game that some fans are looking for, that it would make a difference. Now, I hope behind the scenes, if there is a mistake, if there is a miscue, that the manager will directly call that out.
Yep.
And I believe Mendy probably does that. And we always heard his time with the Yankees. He was the one who would always get on Gleyber Torres. So I think that sometimes when we're losing and you have a roster that's underachieving, and I think both the Mets and the Yankees fit that bill right now. They are the same. They basically, don't they have the same record now?
Yes, the same exact record.
They have the same exact record. They're in a very similar spot in terms of they're not out of the divisional race, but it doesn't feel good.
Well, no, they're kind of in the exact same spot when you think about where they are in the wild card.
Yes, they're half game up.
Half game up, Cleveland and the Ohio teams and the Reds. And then they could get the division, but it's a climb.
And not for nothing, we need to revisit something we said on Monday. The Reds beating the Phillies 2 out of 3 screwed the Mets here, too. You absolutely should have been rooting for the Phillies. Not that it would have mattered, but they lost 2 games.
No, because making the playoffs is the priority. I mean, I was saying that when we had that debate. Like, of course I was rooting for the Phillies. Like, it's painful to do it, but you got to make the postseason. And now the Mets are only a half game up. The Yankees are a half game up. The one difference, I guess I'd say, is that the Yankees have another team in their division that's also trying to make the playoffs and would battle for the division in Boston. While with the Mets, I mean, unless you think Miami, who's 5 under, is going to go on another run, it's really just the Mets and the Phillies. But point is, they're the same in terms of underachieving high-priced talent, and now we blame the manager. When the reality is, guys need to be better.
True, but it's easy to blame. I think it's easier to blame Boone because he's been there for 7-8 years than it is Mendy, who's been there for 2.
Absolutely.
Evan? When we were at the Cadillac Club, you asked me about Plan B for the Yankees. And now that we're sitting here with the same record, can I ask you, would you rather for 2025 have Max Fried and Cody Bellinger than Juan Soto?
In 2025?
2025.
Yeah, for just this season.
Are the Mets, do the Mets have a
long term?
Do the Mets have a better record today than they do if their money is spent on Max Fried and Cody Bellinger than Juan Soto?
And Pete is still back.
Pete is still back.
Oh, the Mets would be better off, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Just thought that was actually interesting.
but remember this about Soto.
Juan Solo.
And as much as I criticize him or any Met fan criticizes him, and I remember having this argument with Yankee fans or Met fans during the offseason, it isn't about 1 year. It's about the fact that he's 26 years old. Yes, he's 26 years old. And you have him for the next 15 years. So, yeah, in the short term, how can I answer that question any other way?
Well, I knew you couldn't answer it any other way. That's why
he was
I asked
setting
it.
You up.
Imagine Max Fried at the top of this Met rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe they signed Fried instead of Montas.
Yeah, maybe. But you never would have gotten him because he wasn't. David Stearns isn't doing it 8 years.
No, of course. It's a hypothetical. It's an unrealistic.
But at least then, if Fried is on this, even with the slide at the last, whatever, week or so, 2 weeks that he's been not pitching as well, Max Fried. At least you're not dependent upon Kodai Senga to be your ace.
100%. But here's the caveat, because I feel like I need to say this before we just move on. In terms of long term, it's not even close.
Mm. I agree.
You accept that.
I agree.
Because next year, Bellinger's a free agent, and Max Fried is in year two of an 8-year contract. Like, I would absolutely 9 times out of 9, I guess it's 10 times out of 10, would sign up for Soto versus those
you were
two long term.
That made no sense.
I know. But short term, yeah. I mean, of course.
I just found that funny with both having the same record and all the arguments about Plan B at the beginning of the year.
Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Terry is in Farmingdale, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Terry.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
About the Mets, I think this is kind of like a rudderless boat. You know what I mean? They have nobody to lead this team. If you had a players-only meeting, who would have the Guillaumes to call it and who would lead it?
I think Lindor would.
Yeah, I still think Lindor's the leader and captain of the team.
But I don't know if they feel rudderless. They just don't feel – they're just not good right now.
Here's what I don't know, and there's no way to kind of measure this. At the beginning of this season, I asked very innocently to Carlos Mendoza – will you miss the leadership of J.D. Martinez and Jose Iglesias? Mm. And really more so J.D. Martinez. I think that we gave Iglesias a lot of credit because of the music and the performance.
Well, that was the emotional bond.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going to completely discount that because you are a professional athlete.
Yeah.
You are paid to play your sport at a high level consistently. So that emotional bond that makes you guys feel like you're all in a group and want to hug each other, that's cool.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily winning and losing you games.
No, I think that despite lack of music and lack of performance, J.D. Martinez was more important to that locker room than Iglesias was.
Super veteran.
Yeah.
Been around, seen it all.
And remember what he was saying coming out of the players-only meeting. He said, yeah, we all talked, and I kind of reminded the guys, everyone thinks we suck. So, no pressure, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it, but then I said, well, wait a second. This year, you can't use that angle.
No.
You can't say that now. But I do wonder, and I don't know how to measure it. I don't think Mendy can measure it. But would having a leader like that in the room have helped during a struggle like this? I don't know.
I think definitely it would have. I mean, I think it's different in every sport. So baseball is different than football, obviously. But I think it certainly helps because it just puts things in perspective. It helps you put, when you have a veteran guy, things in perspective. But the other thing that I think we're not really accounting for here is that the Mets last year were kind of an underdog story.
Yes. Which is why J.D. could say that.
Right. They were good. But they weren't expected to be the best team in National League and to be in the NLCS like they ultimately got to. When you spend $700 million on Juan Soto plus, actually, your team feels like it's right where it needs to be, and you were just in the NLC. You're no longer the underdog. And so this year carried a ton of expectation, which honestly they lived up to for a month and a half, 2 months.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like they got tight. Like when they started failing a little bit, they got tight. And now they can't just loosen up. So if there is a benefit to what Iglesias brought, it was, all right, let's just loosen up, play some music, right? This is fun, man.
Yeah.
I think that might be what they miss to an extent.
And I'm just giving you the facts, not saying it's because of this. Have you noticed who's in first place in the National League West?
The Padres.
The San Diego Padres have won five in a row.
He's
they
not singing out there.
They have surpassed the Dodgers.
He's not singing out
He's also
there.
Having a terrible season.
But he's not singing out there. Oh, my God. What's going on out there?
Coincidentally, there's an article this morning in the Wall Street Journal examining a high-priced baseball franchise and how this year has been so disappointing. Right? You know what team it's about? It's not about the Mets.
The Dodgers.
Yes. It's not about the Yankees either.
If you want to be fair, though, the Dodgers have been...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Crushed with injuries.
You want me to also be fair? I could have told you that before the season.
No, I think you did.
You can't sign injured players and then say, oh my God, we're injured.
I think you did say
that. Of course I said it because the guys who are hurt are always hurt.
Right.
I mean, we said that about Cashman in the past. Like, you can't cry injuries when you sign guys who are injury prone.
Right. 100%. You could spend $1 billion, but if it's $1 billion hurt, it's not doing you any damn good.
But you know what's unfair about that Wall Street Journal article? Right now, Met fans, Yankee fans, who would you rather be? The Yankees, the Mets, or the Dodgers? Who would you rather be right now?
The Dodgers.
Yeah, they're in a playoff spot. They're going to make the playoffs. They may well get healthy, and they're better than both teams. Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about, oh, what a disappointment. As long as you make the playoffs, you have a chance to right the ship. And that's the same thing for the Mets and the Yankees. If they can make the playoffs and survive how bad they've been for 2 months, sure, they've got a chance to write a very different script. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. God, what a brutal week for Mets fans. I want to pick up on what you said, and Evan, what you said about the core. I think you guys are spot on. But first, you know what the Mets need tonight? For Mendy to get thrown out and come back in with a fake mustache.
That was fun.
Tiki, your comment about the expectations, I was just thinking about this psychologically. If you look at the core of this Mets team, and when I look at the core, I go to Lindor, McNeil, Nimmo, Diaz and even Peterson, whoever's been in the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And contrast that with the Phillies, because that core has been somewhat similar, right?
Of course.
I don't think the Mets psychologically feel they deserve to be there. And if you look at when they've done well, it's when they've been the underdog or low expectations. The couple years back when they got Verlander and Scherzer, bad year. Whenever they've been not expected to do well, they seem to thrive. So there's something going on, I think. I think there's something that they're playing tighter or they're not rising to that pressure. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it feels like. And it's surprising to me because these are good players.
Yeah.
It's not like they're overachieving players. They're good players.
And they're players who have performed in the biggest of spots. Like,
right.
We all remember Lindor's MVP type season last year. He's also the guy who was one of the best players on a baseball team that got to the 7th game of the World Series.
Yes.
As a young player in Cleveland.
Right.
And obviously, adding Juan Soto, who's an incredible talent, who was the main catalyst of the Yankees getting to the World Series a year earlier. And, of course, Juan won a World Series when he was a teenager in 2019. Mm-hmm. Like, you would think those are guys that can live up to the moment.
Yeah. What you think about Iglesias a year ago. He was an overachieving player.
Mm.
He's not regularly good, one of the best players in baseball. He was overachieving. For the most part, the other Mets were just playing to what they should be playing to.
Right.
And so, I mean, we're talking about a lot of different things here. It ultimately comes down to just pitching and catching, right? And it has been the issue for the last 2 weeks that this starting rotation just is not getting it done.
And it did last night, and they still lost.
Exactly.
And that's frustrating.
As I was thinking last night, what are we going to talk about tomorrow? It was actually hard for me to think about what to say about this Mets team because they played well. They played a good game.
Yeah.
They just lost.
They did. And they lost in a new creative way.
Right.
And now, maybe the greatest slugger we've seen since Barry Bonds is coming to Citi Field in Cal Raleigh.
Mm. I'm sorry. I know Aaron Judge is better, but still.
King Aaron Judge. The big dumper.
The big dumper with his 45 home runs and 98 RBIs.
It's unbelievable.
He's had an unbelievable season. And I am curious for anybody out there. Are you going to Citi Field tonight specifically to see the big dumper?
No chance.
No chance he hasn't broken through yet, John?
Tonight's a weird night because you have a big giveaway. It's Beatles night. There's no way there's a single one of those 40,000. Number one priority tonight is seeing the big dumper.
Okay.
No way.
I'm just curious.
Switch hitting catcher, having a historical
season. What are they giving away?
They are giving away a replica of Shea Stadium. I'm not kidding you. I can't go tonight. I'm going on vacation. I'm driving down to North Carolina this evening. This is the giveaway I was most excited about.
Really?
Yes. Huh. Shea Stadium replica. Shea Stadium is, you know, it's my holy land. It's what I grew up in.
Big dump.
So if anyone's going to Citi Field tonight and they have an extra Shea replica, send one my way.
You know what they should have done?
What?
They should have given away a vinyl.
Oh, for the Beatles?
Yeah.
Who cares about the Beatles?
That would have been cool.
Who cares about the Beatles? Really? We really care about that?
A lot of people do.
Yes. Right. I don't personally. I care about Shea Stadium.
Okay, I agree with you. So But you can't say nobody cares about the Beatles.
I think a lot of people care about the Beatles.
I know somebody specifically only going tonight because it's Beatles.
Why can't I pull a Chris Russo and
but
say
it's
that
not a cool,
nobody
it's,
cares just because I don't care?
It's not a cool Beatles giveaway.
No, it's a Shea Stadium replica.
Yeah. So it's Beatles night, but you're giving away a
Well, Shea, but it's related to Shea because they played at Shea Stadium. So
tonight, I think, is the actual anniversary, right?
Okay, is there a Beatles reference on the Shea Stadium?
I hope not.
I mean,
if there, by the way,
so then why the hell is it Beatles
if
night?
If there's a Beatles reference on the Shea Stadium replica, I change my mind. I don't want it. Doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, so you're kind of saying if you're going to do Beatles night, give away a Beatles album, like a vinyl.
I mean, you could do that. I guess.
People go buy the whatchamacallits again. The turntable, whatever the thing.
The vinyls?
The track. The thing that runs
What the heck is it called?
A record player.
We were looking for a real name for it.
I know.
That's all it's called.
I thought it was something more complicated than that.
Yeah, you put the big record on, you put the stick on it, it moves. Yeah.
The stick.
Yeah, well, what do you call it?
It's a needle drop.
Oh, the needle drop. Right. Yeah, whatever.
We're all over the place with this one.
All I know is the Shea Stadium replica is badass. And if that's what it is, I'm excited. If it involves John Lennon.
It's Beatles night, dude. It's Beatles night.
As long as we're there, the first pitch tonight is kind of ridiculous.
Who's throwing out the first pitch?
So you would think Beatles night. Maybe they get McCartney to come back or something like this. They are bringing back, and good for these people, anybody who worked the concert as an usher or something who's probably like 80 now.
Sean, you got this one wrong. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Okay, it's awesome for them. Who cares in the crowd?
No, I think, we may not know the people, but that event, and I will acknowledge how historic it was, the Beatles playing at Shea Stadium. Me not caring doesn't mean I don't at least appreciate the history and what it means. And
is it widely viewed as a great Beatles concert?
Well, I don't know if it's a great Beatles concert, but it's a historic moment in Beatles history, them playing at Shea Stadium. I know all about it. I think everyone knows all about it. So it's a big deal. But I think honoring, those that worked there that night, think about how old they need to be.
I understand that, but you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like Steve Cohen had this great idea, and I think it is a good idea.
What year
you should
was
honor. It was 60 years ago, I think, tonight.
60 years ago.
So think about those people. You know, think about the 20, 22-year-olds that are working as ushers
and
stuff.
How many of them are still living?
I know it's multiple. I don't know. And it's a great honor for anybody 80 and older to do this.
That is badass. Forget you, Sean.
Come on.
That is badass.
Who takes tonight and goes, oh, that's cool. They're throwing out the first pitch. Nobody cares.
You know why
they care. It's a big deal for them.
I'm talking to people in the crowd.
Think about in their minds. How big that was.
Yeah.
The Beatles coming to Shea. And they're working it. I mean,
that's pretty cool.
And now they're still alive 60 years later.
See,
Don't poo-poo that, Sean.
It just reeks up. We couldn't get McCartney, so what else can we do?
No, I think it's cooler to have them do it than McCartney. Who cares about Paul McCartney? He's old. I mean, whatever. Let's have the guys and gals who have never gotten the attention they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I do take this personal because one of the things I love to brag about, and I'm sure my dad would love to brag about it, is that he was selling hot dogs and beer on March 18th, 1971 at Madison Square Garden for the fight of the century for Ali Frazier. And if Madison Square Garden decides to honor the double nickel of the fight of the century on March 8th, 2026, and my dad had a chance to be honored that night, I would think it's badass.
You would, because it's your dad. My point is anybody tonight doesn't care who was serving a McCann's hot dog 60 years ago when the Beatles played. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a waste.
All right, you're wrong, but that's okay. Let's go to Jay in Hoboken. Hey, Jay. Oh, sorry. I didn't hit it properly. Actually, it's not working, so. Hello, Jay.
What's up, Jay?
There we go. How we doing? Always good to talk to you guys. I wanted to make a note about the Yankees, and I just have a little question about the Giants for Tiki.
Yep.
So on the Yankees, last year after the World Series, I don't know if you remember, I called in, and I vehemently disagreed with Tiki about Boone being a good manager. Have your guys' thoughts changed at all recently? Because what we're seeing is a lot of no accountability on players, just getting allowed to make mistakes, have terrible approaches at the plate. I'm specifically talking about Anthony Volpe, of course, and really just kind of never understood how Volpe is going to go up there swinging for the fences every time, get up in the spot of to win the game and not do it, and Boone doesn't tell him to change anything.
Well, I mean, there was an accountability issue, and it was obvious because we talked about it. If you follow the Yankees, you couldn't help but notice how poorly defensively this team was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was leaking over into base running errors and everything. So it was little things. It was little league baseball things. And to me, that falls on the manager. Now, that being said, we're talking professional baseball players here.
Yeah, yeah.
These are things that they should have known and mastered years ago. So as much as you want to put it on Aaron Boone, it's ultimately on the players.
It is on the players. Here's how I would answer this. I'm going to be very, very specific. Aaron Boone is the 10th best manager in Major League Baseball. There are 30 of them. I put him in the top third. I think that there are clearly guys above him, like Bruce Bochy, like Terry Francona. And I would name eight more guys if you guys really wanted me to. But
your cousin?
Dave Roberts?
Dave Roberts.
I mean, don't make things uncomfortable between me and Dave.
He won a World Series.
So did Ned Yost. That's always my counter. When someone's like, but they won the World Series. I'm like, so did Ned Yost. So did Jack McKeon. Like, what the hell does that mean? Look, Dave is in the top 10. All right. I don't want any problems in Thanksgiving.
Just making sure you're not like.
Dave's my guy.
Disparaging your family over there.
I also defended him passionately when you guys were ripping him during the World Series. Do you remember that? When you guys were killing him?
Right.
No, I think Aaron Boone is a top.
Well, he did keep it real during the World Series.
He did.
He kept it real.
And he won.
Right, but he won, but I'm saying he said he was nervous.
No, you're right, because things could have gone badly.
It could have really gone badly if they had to go back to L.A.
Look, not to start a debate, Alex Cora, Kevin Cash, like I think A.J. Hinch.
A.J. Hinch is the one.
I think that he's probably 10th. What does that make him? That makes him a good manager.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make him a genius.
No, and he's also not.
Not the right wording. It doesn't make him the best manager in the sport.
No.
But I think he's good. But I do think with all managers and coaches, including the great Joe Torre and the great Tom Coughlin, there is an expiration date.
Mm.
And unlike some of the other managers we're talking about, he's been here for a while.
Yeah, but he's, as much as you can say that, and it could be anybody at any age, didn't age feel like it was part of it?
With whom?
The two guys that you just mentioned, Tom Coughlin and Torre.
So I obviously have to say yes because they were older, but no, I think performance and where the team was going
just in the World Series, Evan.
Who?
The Yankees.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Joe and Tom. Joe and Tom.
No, Joe and Tom.
They were declining in terms of,
I also think age was a factor.
I cannot deny that. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. It shouldn't, but it was.
It is.
I think
just the reality of it.
In Joe's case, because Tom, it's easy. You just look at the results.
Right.
No offense. Plus, Tom's last year here. And correct me if I'm wrong, as a historian, Sean, weren't we killing him for like 10 to 12 moves and decisions he made?
Well, we were killing him for the last 3 years of it,
it was also the Odell stuff for a guy who was so accountable.
Yes.
I mean, he weeded out everybody those first couple of years. It was all about time, discipline, the minutiae. Odell Beckham Jr. got away with whatever he wanted.
That's a great point, yes.
And he had to be allowed to do that.
So that is a part of what led to his decline. In Torre's case, think about it. Collapse of 04, first round exit 05, first round exit 06, including A-Rod to the eighth hole, and the midges crap from 07. Like, I know they were in the playoffs every year, but trust me, I was at this radio station when this was happening. They were done with Joe Torre, and obviously Cashman was. So even the greats, and those two guys are legends. Tom Coughlin and Joe Torre are Hall of Famers. We all have great respect for them, but it was over at the end. Like, let's not reinvent history. It was done. So Aaron Boone is not either guy. Let's make that clear. There comes an expiration with all managers and coaches. But I think that's what makes it with him a little bit more complicated.
But have they hit the expiration is the question. And to me, it doesn't feel like it because they're still a little bit, like they're still developing in certain places. Right? Think about the Volpes and the Jason Dominguez's and those guys. Like there's young players that are still finding, and they're important players. Right?
Yeah.
They're pieces that are going to have to play great in order for them to ultimately win a championship. They're still in the development phase of them. It's not like everybody's aged out and it's just kind of stale and old and let's just remake this whole thing. It doesn't feel like that. Now, he's not close to Torrey was 11 years. 11
seasons? First year was 96, last year was 07, so you help me with that.
Yes, 11.
I give you the years.
Seasons.
I'm always confused by that because it's never the actual, like, 6 to 17. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, wait, there's
that's
an extra year.
It's 12.
It's 12, right?
The math says 11, but it's 12 seasons.
Yes, exactly right.
And Girardi.
It's like the 100th season for the Giants versus the 100th anniversary.
That's right. And in Coughlin's case, it's 2004 to his last year was 2015, right?
Yes, it was. Yes. And remember, the Carolina game is what did him in 3 weeks left. Norman,
so that's 12 seasons.
Same thing as Joe.
12 seasons.
Yeah, it was the exact same thing in terms of time. Yeah, I think in Boone's case, look, I said a few weeks ago, I would have fired him just to try to spark the team. Mm. Sometimes it does work, as we've seen in the past. I think this comes down to a simple, if they make the postseason, he could survive. If they don't, it's tough to bring him back. Mm. Even being in the World Series a year earlier.
If they don't make the postseason, everything is on the table.
We all need to understand something as Met fans.
Because they
Yankee
don't
fans.
Not make the postseason.
Well, it would be two times in 3 years, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We need to understand something in this modern age of baseball. The New York Mets and the New York Yankees missing the playoffs is unacceptable, and it's a disaster. And there's no way to sugarcoat that. That's just the reality. And we can debate, well, they got in, they won a round, they didn't win a round. We can debate that all day, but the one thing we cannot debate is if either team or both teams miss the playoffs in this format, especially in the mediocrity that both leagues sort of feature.
Yeah, it's true.
Can't happen.
Imagine anybody predicting that in January. That would be incredible.
Sean Morash did. We all made 2025 predictions, and that's why you said it, but I want to inform the audience.
These were bold predictions for the year.
It was January 2nd, and I said everyone's got to make a prediction for the year.
We didn't do New Year's resolutions. We did bold predictions.
That's right. I remember Tiki's. He was already wrong. You just picked the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you were wrong. I said Aaron Rodgers will never play another game in the NFL. I still can win that.
Yeah, true.
I still have a shot. Tommy, I think, said, Tommy's halfway. Tommy said a New York team will beat Boston in the NBA playoffs and in the World Series. So he got Knicks Celtics right. Major props for that. We'll see about Mets Red Sox. It's still in play. And Sean went out and said both New York teams are going to miss the baseball playoffs. And right now, I think there's a lot of people who would actually say, I think Sean may be right.
Pitch my fat ass!
A game for both teams in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And they're out of the picture.
We'll get back to your calls next. Plus, why is Aaron Boone burying one of his key young players?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.